This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
On a keeper, up across the 15, cuts left to 20, lots of room at the 30, headed to the near sideline, one man to beat, makes the move at midfield, coming to the near side at the 30, he's at the 20, he's at the 10, 5, touchdown Kentucky!
With that, we're off and running with another episode of Believe in Kentucky. My name is Vinny Hardy. Co-host A.G. Aaron Gershon of the Cats Paws and former UK QB Jalen Whitlow aren't able to be on this evening, but got a wonderful guest here to jump in and chop it up with us, talking all things Houston Rockets, the lead staff writer for the Dream Shake SBN, SB Nation, and he's out there in those Believe podcast streets, just like we are, the Rocket Fuel Pod, LaChard Binkley, man. Appreciate you hopping on. How you doing this evening?
Man, I'm doing good, man. I appreciate you reaching out and trying to, you know, converge the Kentucky and Rockets side of it, like we were trying to talk about before the show. You know, Rockets have had a few Kentucky players on their team in the past. So, you know, it's definitely good to get Reed Shepherd in the door and see what he can do for the Rockets.
Yeah, it was kind of easy for me to merge the two. I was hoping that they would keep the third pick and keep Reed when you kind of heard the rumors that they were targeting him. Yeah. That whole trade to pick for KD, man. What was that, just a smoke signal? What was up with that? Because I was like, surely not. What are we doing?
Yeah, that sounds like a Brian Windhorst just throwing stuff against the wall type thing. It never really made much sense. I mean, I know the connection they were trying to make because the Rockets had Phoenix's picks and they could give it back to them, but they got the wrong Phoenix Sun that the Rockets will probably eventually go after, and that's Devin Booker. It's not a 35-plus-year-old Kevin Durant making 50 million a year. That just never really made sense.
Absolutely. So I saw that, and I was like, surely to goodness. So thankfully that wasn't the case. Yeah. Just to backtrack a little bit, you know, you're doing your thing for Dream Shake. Yeah, so how'd you become your journey to Dream Shake and the Rocket Fuel Pod? Just to, a little background about LaChard Binkley first.
Well, it's kind of crazy. I've, you know, been a Rockets fan, a Houstonian my entire life. So, I mean, I've been a Rockets fan my entire life. Never really thought about getting into the point where I am now, where I'm actually at the games. But like in 2019, the opportunity kind of came along in a smaller publication. I always wanted to do sports writing. So I figured, you know what, you know, it's no harm. I'm not getting paid anything, but it's no harm to start off and, you know, write some sports blogs about the Rockets, who I've been, you know, watching my entire life. And then it kind of just, you know, took off from there, you know, kind of worked my way up to different publications. And eventually it led me to Dream Shake and working for them and working for SB Nation. And just, you know, luckily at the time they had a spot open, because I actually started off with them just doing volunteer kind of work. I wasn't getting paid, you know, but I wanted to. I knew that Dream Shake was kind of the biggest Houston's, you know, Rockets sports blog out there. So I always wanted to work for them when I started doing the writing back in 2019. And I kind of just worked my way to there, and it's led me to, you know, be able to go out to games and, cover the Rockets and, you know, start my own podcast. So it's been a great journey, man. It's something that I never thought I would be doing, especially in my 40s. That's the last thing I thought I'd be out there being able to go to Rockets games for free. But, you know, that's where I am now. I'm definitely grateful for it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, congratulations on all that. Yeah, in my 40s as well. Like we were talking a little bit before we started recording. So being a Kentucky fan and a Rockets fan, so kind of able to go way back. I listened to your episode, your Otis Thorpe tribute episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
kind of introducing him to the younger generation of fans that didn't know. So looking forward to the other ones that you do. But that's good stuff, man. And he, you know, those massive hands, he played a huge role with all the dirty work he did for, you know, for that first title.
Yeah, I mean, I want people to realize that he's more than just a guy that got traded for Clyde Drexler. He was actually an all-star. He was one of the premier Ironmen back in the day. He held the record for most games played before AC Green broke it. I mean, it's a lot more to Otis Thorpe than just like the guy that got traded on Valentine's Day for Clyde Drexler, which, don't get me wrong, it led to another title. But, I mean, without Otis Thorpe, there's no way they win that first title. They definitely don't beat the Knicks, because we knew how that Knicks team was back in the 90s with Oakley and Anthony Mason and Patrick Ewing. I mean, they were like one of the toughest teams in the league. And, you know, without Otis Thorpe, this was before Robert Horry became Robert Horry. He was still a rookie trying to get, you know, his footing in the league. So I just wanted people to know that Otis Thorpe is like one of the most underrated Rockets of all time. So it's definitely something I want to kind of continue with other players, but I definitely want to start with him.
Yeah, for sure. And you leading the crusade for, you know, a lot of Kentucky fans. We're familiar with Horry from his days at Alabama, seeing him in the SEC before he went on to Houston. But you leading the charge to try to get him into the Hall of Fame too, right?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, I think – yeah, I know people look at his numbers like, okay, they're kind of pedestrian numbers. Why would he be in the Hall of Fame? But at the end of the day, the NBA Hall of Fame is a lot different than other Hall of Fames. As you know, they factor in college as well as factoring in the NBA. And then you also have to factor in that he was a direct reason why multiple teams won championships. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a direct reason why the Rockets won a championship in 95. Of course, we know about the Lakers. I'm sure Sacramento fans don't want to hear about that, but we know about the Lakers. He had a big shot with San Antonio. So, I mean, seven rings is seven rings. And yes, he was never the main guy, but there should be a spot when you are like one of the premier role players of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. To be direct links, like you said, in all those different ways. Yeah. You know, just hang out in the regular season, but as soon as you flip to the playoffs, every single time. Yeah. So Reed Sheppard was introduced officially today, signed his contract, 4 years, $45 million and change. So what's the vibe down there? What'd you get from what you've seen of him just a little bit so far? I hadn't really, you know, got to summer league and all that yet, but what was the fan base vibe as a whole, the media vibe and everything when, you know, he was the pick and now he's been introduced and you got to at least hear him speak?
Yeah, I would say majority of people wanted the Rockets to draft Reed Sheppard because they've watched the Rockets the last 4 years, unfortunately, be one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league. And as you know, Reed Sheppard was the best shooter in the nation last season, shooting over 52% from three. So most fans wanted the Rockets to draft Reed Sheppard, so they were happy when that draft pick came along. I was kind of on the fence just because I knew it was a lot of teams that were interested in that third pick, and if the Rockets did it the right way, they could kind of flip that pick and get another pick and add in a, you know, player that is more established in the league. But I'm also was fine with them drafting Reed Sheppard because, like I said, the Rockets really struggled from three-point range last season. That was a huge reason why, even though they did finish 41-41, they actually could have been a lot better. A lot of games they lost just because they couldn't make an open shot. And when I say open shot, I mean like 5 or 6 feet. Nobody's near their no defender is even near them when they're taking a shot, and they still weren't able to make the shot. I mean, you really only had Fred VanVleet, who shot actually a really good percentage last season. Dylan Brooks started off, I mean, he was shooting like crazy. He was shooting over 50%. But we all knew that wasn't going to continue. Eventually, he kind of came back to where he usually is, which is like mid to low 30s. And then after that, Rocks really didn't have too many other three-point shooters. So adding in Reese Shepard, a lot of fans were happy. And just listening to him yesterday, you can definitely tell he's from a basketball family. You can tell he's not going to make mistakes on the court, and that's something I know MA absolutely loves. He loves players on the court who's not going to, you know, be in the wrong spot, who's not going to have to constantly tell, hey, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. And that's a lot of times where players got benched last season in the fourth quarter, not because they were missing shots, but because they were in the wrong spot on defense, or they were making the wrong play on the offensive end. And that absolutely drives MA crazy when players do that. He's fine if you're not making shots, but he's not crazy about people that constantly makes mistakes. And that's something you're probably not going to see from Reese Shepard. Of course, like I said, we know about his shooting. And also, it's just toughness. He talked about that yesterday at the press conference as well, that he had to be tough coming from, you know, his mom and dad were basically, you know, as you know, Kentucky royalty down there. So he had to be tough. It was a lot of pressure for him to go to Kentucky. And not only that, he was going to Kentucky with several other four or five star players. So it wasn't like the ball, like everything was just going to be handed to him. He had to go and take it. And come to find out, he made the biggest impact out of anybody there. So a lot of fans are happy. From what I saw at Media Day, he's definitely poised. Nothing really seems to rattle him. But like you said, we'll see more when Summer League comes around on July 12th. And, of course, their first game is against, you know, Bronny and the Lakers. So that'll definitely be interesting.
Yeah, sure. And from the Kentucky perspective, he grew up about an hour and a half from where I'm from there in Eastern Kentucky. In the mountains, a lot of coal mines right there, and which where he's from is about halfway between my hometown and Lexington is where he's at. But same region in high school, Kentucky, 16 regions. You win your region, you go to state tournament, all 16 teams play. It can be a small town going up against a Louisville school, that whole thing. So Cal didn't really put a lot of focus on the in-state guys, you know, with him, you know, he's getting the top players in the nation now, you know, with the one and dones. And so everybody knew about him. Like his mom said, you know, I think she did an interview. Everybody's knowing locally. Every time you come in the gym, they've been knowing him since he's a little fella.
Yeah.
So the whole thing, well, is Cal going to offer him? Is Cal going to offer him? Is he good enough to get an offer? And, you know, because Cal just didn't get a lot of in-state guys, you know, guys went elsewhere and things of that nature. So got the offer, and then it moves to is he good enough to play? Is he good enough to make an impact? They had a trip to Toronto, the Global Jam, where they went up there in the summer, and, you know, he started flashing and, okay. And from then on, it just, you know, just kind of like a snowball. It just continued to gain momentum, game in, game out consistently. It wasn't like he had one good game and then three or four bad ones. It was, okay, he can play now.
Yeah.
He's going to be a one and done. Now it went from, can he even make the team? Will he get offered to, is he going to be back for a second year? And as we now know, he's the third pick in the draft. And when you're slotted there, there's no way you're coming back, you know. So, It all kind of happened a whole lot faster than everybody thought, you know, thought he'd be a solid, progressively better 2 or 3 year guy, but nope, that wasn't the case with the year he had. So and now he lives in y'all's neck of the woods. And if all goes well, he'll stretch defenses out. You won't see everybody just packing it in on Houston as much in the upcoming season.
Yeah. And that's another thing I asked him about is also like playing with Shangoon, because Shangoon's such a great passer, and just from the, you know, tape I've watched of him, he's really good off the ball. He's really good as a backdoor cutter. And Shangoon absolutely loves playing with guys that are good at cutting to the basket. I mean, him and KJ Martin used to make play after play after play when they were on the court together, because KJ Martin was a really good guy cutting to the basket. And I see the same thing with Reed. And I think that's going to kind of benefit both of them. And again, also because Shangoon was getting double teamed a lot once he started to get more and more recognition throughout the league, teams were literally just double teaming every single game. And then that's when the Rockets were go up there, and majority of the season, they weren't making shots. They were making those shots in March, and that's why they went on that long winning streak. But for majority of the season, they were one of the, you know, bottom tier 3-point shooting teams. And now you have Reed, who Yes, minutes are going to be tight because the Rockets have a pretty set rotation. But mm-hmm. I think people need to realize with MA is that he's not really tied to anybody. The only players that he's drafted or at least been part of are Amen, Cam, and now Reed. So it's not necessarily set in stone that I know he was asked about going to the G League. That's a possibility. But I also wouldn't be surprised if he goes out there and outplays other guys on the team. I don't think he has a problem with putting him in a rotation, even if he is, you know, coming in as a rookie.
Mm-hmm. So he addresses a need, like you said, the Rockets bottom third of the league in 3-point shooting.
Yes.
And if he's able to fill that need and make shots and contribute in that area, they obviously want to hit more threes, but do you see them drastically changing the offense to where they take a lot more threes? How would you see that playing out if the need is filled the way everybody hopes?
I know that MA spoke about that during the season, that he wanted them to take more threes, that they don't take enough threes, but they also had to play to their strengths last season. The 3-point shooting wasn't one of them. It was rebounding. It was getting to the basket. So they want to shoot more threes, but of course, shooting more threes, you want to be able to shoot better than 34-35% from 3-point range. And if you get a player like Reed Sheppard, I think they definitely want to shoot more threes because they also want.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I get out on a break more, which can also lead to more open threes, because I know you saw a lot from Reed at the pull-up three coming off the fast break. You know, the highlights I watched, I saw him do that a lot. I know that's something the Rockets want to do. They want to push the pace more. They don't want to be a slow down plotting team where they just dumping the ball down to Shangoon and then they let him dribble for, you know, 10 or 15 seconds and then he makes the pass. They want to be a, you know, up tempo type team, more of a team like they were in March and somewhat in April to end the season. So I can see them definitely taking more threes, because that's another thing. They were near the bottom of the league in 3-point attempts last season. So we know in this league, the only way you're going to be able to be a contending team, you have to be like a Boston, who was like the number one 3-point shooting team in the league. And we saw that's why Dallas didn't win against Boston, because they couldn't make shots. So I think the Rockets want to be more like Boston than what they were last season, where they just was more of a inside than outside team.
And you mentioned those pull-up threes. Yeah. You know, we both the same age. To me, those cold-blooded in transition, I call him Nick Van Exel. He used to pull up like 1-on-5 and just raise up when he was with the Lakers, man. It was like no conscience. I think Reed has that. He also, like you mentioned, how Ime likes guys that aren't in the wrong place and don't. He also kind of maybe isn't aggressive as you want, because he's not trying to make mistakes, but maybe he'll kind of relax and let it go once he gets comfortable and do that. Cause he did do that in some games. I think the Tennessee game towards the end of the year where he did just cold blooded. I'm gonna let it fly. And he, of course, you know, he's hitting 52%, you know, last year for Kentucky, and he was able to knock him down. So maybe he'll let loose, you know, defensively. He can probably, you know, tighten it up a little bit, and you know, Ime ain't gonna play you if you don't, you know, play some defense. Yeah, that's true. And but he would kind of get, you know, maybe caught ball watching a little bit or trying to, you know, stray away from his man too much to make a steal and kind of get burnt. That was kind of some of his things at Kentucky that, you know, they can probably kind of tweak and work with him once he gets down there on the court. Sure.
Yeah, and also to help him play with Fred VanVleet, another kind of undersized guard who, you know, is not super athletic, but he just knows how to play the game. You don't ever see him getting taken advantage on the defensive end. He always, even when he goes for the steals, he never really goes for the steal in his out of place. And I think playing, and he mentioned that, you know, playing, you know, with Fred VanVleet, and I think Reed Shepard's going to be probably the backup point guard going into next season. With Ahmed kind of moving more to the forward position. So him playing with Fred, I think that'll help him as well. He can kind of teach him the right way to go for the steals and the right opportunities and not be reckless on the court. Because like you said, MA is not going to play you if you don't play defense. And that goes for anybody on the team, including all the way from Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, down to, you know, the rookies. If you don't play defense, then, yeah, you're not going to get on the court.
Yeah. And he's a combo guard, but he's capable, I think, of playing some backup point.
Yeah.
He's solid. Like y'all have watched him enough, especially once you guys knew he was going to be the pick. Y'all are watching him at Kentucky and of course, you know, Stone and Ime going back to high school and AAU and all that, digging and research. Solid across the board, not hitting you with a lot of flash, but also, like you said on – I think your previous episode about what he brings to the table, sneakier athletic than a lot of people are going to realize.
Yeah.
You know, they don't just put him in the box of just a catch and shoot, just a Steve Kerr, John Paxson stand in the corner and get a kick out. And that's more to him than that. You know, everybody saw his vertical at the combine. And I think, you know, we seen, you know, Jabari takes a lot of mid-range shots and all that. You do a little pump fake and get your little floater or your little mid-range, that, you know, he can definitely, I think, do that as well once teams start chasing him off the three because they know he's coming in the league as a shooter.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something I think all guards, especially smaller guards, have to have a floater because, I mean, without that, you're not always going to be able to get to the basket, especially in the NBA. It's totally different. Athleticism in an NBA. So you're not always going to be able to get to the basket. And again, that's something else he can learn from Fred, is because Fred is, you know, like 6 feet maybe on a good day. So he had to learn how to be able to score around that basket. And he, you know, he wasn't going to be able to overpower anybody. So that's, I mean, he's coming in a really good situation. Like I said, being able to learn from a guy like Fred, who's probably one of the most unselfish players in the entire NBA. Just the little I've been able to talk to him throughout the last season. He's always willing to help the younger guys. He's not really worried about, oh, they're going to try to take my spot and I'm not going to help them. Maybe he did a lot of help work with Ahmed, did a lot of work with Jalen. And I think he'll do the same thing with Reed. And just like you said, you know, people may want to put him in a box. From what I saw, he can definitely, you know, be able to elevate at different times, even though he said during a press conference, he's probably going to leave that more to guys like Jalen and Cam. He's going to be more of the passer than the actual person receiving the pass on the lob. So, but it is good to be able to, when you need to be able to get up and get vertical, at least he can do that.
Yeah. It's in the bag if he want to use it. You know, it's not like you looking in there and it ain't there. It's there. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Whenever he want to pull it out. But yeah. As far as you said you don't do predictions on how you think draft picks will go. You like to give them time and not trying to call a guy a great player or a bust right off the bat, because it does need a bigger sample size, you know, and guys can change and everybody progresses at different rates. So I will ask you your way too early prediction on how you think the season will go. If you can go glass half full, if you want, glass half empty, yeah. As far as if it all comes together and the minutes get divvied out and everybody kind of clicks and all these young guys take that next step, or, you know, maybe guys don't progress like we hope and maybe a couple injuries or whatever, stuff like that, chemistry. So 41 and 41 last year, way too early prediction on what you think this team will do this coming season.
So at the very least, they should be a play-in team. I mean, that should be their, that should be something that they absolutely should do, is be able to make the play-in. If they don't make the play-in next season, that's a huge disappointment. I mean, whatever injuries you want to throw in there, I understand injuries happen. You know, stuff happens to your top players. But just looking at the team now, looking at where they were last season, and looking at the direction they're going now with MA being able to be in there another season, he can implement even more of his game plan in, because he said a lot last year he had a really simple game plan because he hadn't worked with any guys before. And now he's had another season to kind of see exactly what each player can and can't do. And you also, they know what works for this team and what doesn't work for this team. So I think that, like I said, at the very least, they should be a play-in team. I would say if everything goes great, perfectly for them next season, I could see them getting between 6 and 8 if everything just goes perfect. But also, a lot, some of that's not in their control, because you got to think about the other teams in the West. We know how tough the West and Western Conference is. And now you got Ja Morant coming back. So Memphis is not going to be at the bottom. You still got to deal with the only team that may fall off next season is Golden State. That's a team that the Rockets may be able to pass, maybe even the Lakers, because the Lakers haven't made any moves. So those are a couple of teams that they may be able to pass, but you also got to think about how much better is San Antonio going to get. Is Portland ever going to get it together? Is Scoot Henderson going to figure it out? So it's a lot of other factors, but if we're just focusing on the Rockets, I would say high end is 6 to 8 seed. Low end is play in. Like I said, anything outside of the play in, then something really, really horrible went wrong, because it's no way this team shouldn't at least make the play in next season.
That's true. We just saw the Mavs lose in the finals to Boston.
Yeah.
Are they your biggest rival as a Rockets fan, or who's the team you dislike the most? Is it them? Is it Spurs? Is it Lakers? Who, or some other team?
I mean, before I started doing the writing thing and covering the team, it was Golden State, at least the last several years. I mean, I don't know if I can even put it into words. I felt about Golden State, and they're just being in the Rockets' way year after year after year. So it was absolutely Golden State the last several years. I mean, before that, it was definitely more of the Utah Jazz, probably, if you go on a little bit further back, even back in the McGrady years, because Utah seemed to always be in their way in that first round. They can never get past Utah if you're going back to the early 2000s. And of course, we know in the 90s, it was San Antonio. It was teams like the Lakers. Those were like kind of their biggest rivals back then. So, but yeah, if you're talking about more recent time, it was absolutely Golden State, because we all know that 2018 team where they should have won the NBA championship that season, you know, with the Chris Paul injury and all that. Yeah. And then, you know, even before that, before they actually got to the point where they really could compete, Golden State was just beating them every single year in 4 or 5 games. So definitely, I would say, if you probably ask most younger fans now, because there's a lot of young Rockets fans out there, they would probably absolutely say Golden State.
I don't know what it is, and I don't even live in Texas. The Mavs just always get on my nerves. I mean, Jason Terry got on my nerves when he was there, and maybe that's, I mean, he was on that 97 Arizona team to beat Kentucky in the championship. Maybe it's some deep seated stuff from that subconsciously. I don't know.
They just always Harpers of the world, and Michael Finley, and I mean, the whole Dallas Houston thing, that's on a whole nother level. That goes beyond basketball. It's a lot of times Dallas people like to say that there's really a rivalry, but it absolutely is. When it's it's sports, it's economics, it's the fact that we have more of a bigger population down here in Houston than they have in Dallas. It's a lot of things, the whole Houston Dallas thing that goes way beyond basketball.
And see, if I was, and I always wonder, you know, if I lived in a big city, would I be the fan of all the professional teams in that city? Because I'm not trying to weird you out. Being from Kentucky, I'm a Cowboys fan, but I'm a Rockets fan. And see, gotcha. as much as I like the Cowboys, that's how much I dislike the Mavs. So I'm just all, that's weird to y'all down there. Like,
yeah, Cowboys are a dirty word here in Houston, and they actually play each other this year. So let's just say the last couple of times, or previously, every single time they play the Cowboys, it's usually a fight in the parking lot. So I'll just leave it at that.
So what? Which, I mean, like, if you talk to somebody in Philly, they'll say, well, it's an Eagles town. As much as they love the Sixers and the Flyers and the Phillies, that's an Eagles town. So what kind of town is Houston? I mean, the Astros just won some chips. Houston brought the first title, pro title there in 94. Is you know, Texans are coming up. What type of town is Houston now, in your opinion?
It's still a football town. Much as I'm a diehard basketball fan, it's a football town. It's no denying. If the Texans ever just even got to the Super Bowl, because the Oilers never even got past the AFC Championship game, that's a whole nother story. Just bad memories. But if the Texans even just got to the Super Bowl, this whole city will just shut down. That's how big of a football town that this is. Much as the Astros have been the best team the last 20 or 30 years out of all the teams, it's still a football town just because football is just in the DNA of just Texas. I mean, Friday Night Lights, all of that, college football. So, I mean, you kind of saw a little bit of it with UT and Vince Young, how crazy it was, even just here in Houston, because he's from Houston. Mm-hmm. It would be 10 times that if the Texans were to get to a Super Bowl. It would be insane here in Houston, that's for sure.
Hey, and look, as a Cowboys fan, I can, you know, this is my sister saying, true Texas football state. Yeah. As a Cowboys fan, I can objectively say, I mean, yo, the Texans are coming. I mean, Miko Ryan's down there, done put a squad together, and I mean, you know, made a lot of noise. Y'all got y'all stuff together. And
yeah, finally, and, yes.
Yeah. And you give me flashbacks. Of course, we know the first game in Texans history, they beat the Cowboys. So, I mean.
Yep. I think 19 or 12, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Ooh, David Carr. I went 1-0. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, they got a nice little nucleus. They got, like you said, they got stuff together finally, and you're heading in the right direction. So, it'll be fun to see how that plays out for them, too.
Yeah, getting that Bill O'Brien stench out of the building. That's been the biggest turnaround for the Texans, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's see what else I'm gonna ask too. I had another question. The Mavs, can't stand them. It's a football town, more so. How often do you tell everybody about, you know, Dream Shake and the Rockets Fuel Pod? How often you record, what you got in store, as far as that's coming down the pipe?
Yeah, so I'm the lead staff writer over at Dream Shake. So, of course, I'm always, you know, whenever there's news breaking, and, you know, I'm always writing several articles a month for the Dream Shake. I also like to do kind of the same thing I do with a podcast, where I kind of talk about some of the forgotten players and Rockets history. So a lot of times I'll go back and I'll talk about players like Rudy Tomjanovich or Otis Thorpe or Mario Ely, who I had on the show before. He's definitely another one that doesn't get talked about enough outside of the Kiss of Death 3. So yeah, I do a lot of that kind of going back, because I am one of the older people on the staff. So I like to talk a lot about, you know, the 90s and, you know, the glory years of the Rockets. And then same thing on the podcast. When I do, especially during summer, when it's not a lot of stuff going on, I like to talk a little bit about that. And also, you know, have different guests on. I've had Matt Bullard. He's another one from those 90s teams I've had on the podcast several times. And, you know, just, you know, the depending on the news of the day, like I said, during the summer, it's not a lot of news, but whenever there's stuff like the press conference, I like to have that on the podcast. And any type of interviews I do, like even when I'm at the game, I like to post all the interviews on there. So anytime you want to see a post-game interview for a certain player, I always have it up on my channel. But I kind of do a little bit of everything on that channel, not just podcasts. I try to, you know, have breakdown videos, whatever I can do to kind of, you know, get the Rocket knowledge out there. That's what I try to do on my podcast, along with my, you know, my co-host Vader.
Okay. So Rocket Fuel Podcast here on the Believe Network, just like we are. And is that what, a couple times a week or?
Yeah, it's usually at the most, well, usually at least once a week. Like during the draft, I had multiple podcasts that week. If there would have been any type of actual free agency news, it would have been multiple times. But definitely during the season, because of course, you know, there's multiple games during the week. I'll usually have two or three shows during that week as well. But usually at least once a week, I'll definitely have a podcast up on there.
Good stuff. Oh, I remember what I was going to ask you now, too, as far as, you know, when you're at the press conferences and, and all that, who's your favorite sound bites right now on the team? Who gives you some good quotes? Who do you like to interview the most right now on the team?
I'm glad you didn't ask about the least, but that's thank you for not doing that. I would say probably the best quotes are usually always Şengün, because I'm not just saying this just because I know Şengün is extremely popular, but he is definitely the easiest, best person to interview. He always comes up and says hello to everybody. Even after they lost a game, he always comes up and smiles and asks everybody how they're doing. And he always gives like really honest answers. As you probably know, when he first came in the league, he had an interpreter, and he just like now it's like it's just no big deal for him to talk to the media. So it's always a pleasure to talk to Şengün. Interviews Fred VanVleet also. He's like, you know, super professional. Mm-hmm. He always gives, you know, honest answers, whether people want to hear it or not. You know, he gives an honest answer. Brooks is probably the most interesting one because you never know what he's going to say. So he's definitely one of the more interesting ones. Like it was a time they were about to play the Lakers and somebody asked him about LeBron and he said he's going to lock him up. And, you know, you're just sitting there like, okay, I know this is going to be everywhere. It's going to be ESPN everywhere else. So Dylan is definitely one of the more interesting people to interview on the team. But, yeah, like I said, Şengün is great. He always gives an honest answer. He's always happy to see everybody. That's something that, you know, especially after a loss, you expect players to be, you know, down. I mean, this is their livelihood, and they just lost a game. But Şengün is, like, always positive and always upbeat. So he's definitely one of the best interviews out there.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. We mentioned some of the, I don't know if it was before we started, but some of the UK guys that went to Houston, you know, Chuck Hayes, Terrence Jones, you know, Ty Washington was there for a little bit, you know, things of that nature. Some guys from the Houston area that have come to Kentucky, you know, you had the Harrison twins. De'Aaron Fox. Did you watch any of those guys in high school before they went to UK or get to see them?
So I watched a little bit of De'Aaron Fox. I mean, you could always kind of tell that he was just better than everybody he was playing against in high school and, you know, even in college. So I did watch a little bit of him before he got to the NBA and went to Sacramento. I mean, I can't say I expected him to be as good as he is now, but it's not exactly like it was a shock because you watched him playing in high school and then you watched his ability in college. So it's not a huge shock that he is what he is now in the NBA. So, yeah, I was able to watch him a pretty good amount when he was in high school. And the kind of thing that's kind of shifting now, you kind of mentioned players from Houston going to other schools. But now with, you know, Kelvin Sampson taking over and U of H taking off, you kind of see that less and less now. A lot of the better players are now staying in Houston. Something, I mean, for 20 or 30 years, basketball in Houston wasn't as big of a deal in college because U of H just wasn't that good. So that's been something, kind of speaking of college, is just something that's kind of been crazy to watch because now Houston is slowly starting to become a powerhouse in basketball in college and something I never thought I was going to see in my lifetime, for sure.
Yeah, and because he's kind of putting a fence around the city, isn't he, as far as...
Yes, yeah, he's keeping a lot of the best players from Houston in the city, and also getting, you know, a lot of top players from around the country. So that's definitely been something good to see, because, like you said, for the longest time, we saw a lot of those players from Houston going out to the Kentuckys and the North Carolinas and the Dukes of the world.
Yeah, and it's a touch before our time, but I watched that, you know, the Five Slamma Gemma 30 for 30, yes. And, you know, back when, you know, U of H was U of H, and where Kelvin is trying to get it to now. But
yeah,
always been tons of talent in the city. And back then, you know, they were keeping that talent at home, and that's why they were what they were. And that, you know, absolutely, trying to kind of recreate that now, right?
Yeah, they're getting real close. And I think they'll be able to do that even more now that they're in the Big 12. Now that they're in a more of a high profile conference, and, you know, more high profile conference means more players are going to be able to see your games, and they're going to want to come to your school. So, yeah, it's definitely is good to see. And also, Kelvin Sampson was on the Rocket staff for a while. So all I know is every Rocket player that played with him, they love as a coach. They go to a lot of the UH games. So it kind of just tell you what kind of person and coach that, you know, Kelvin Sampson is.
Yeah, for sure. So you are a Cougar or a Longhorn? Where you sit on all that as far as the college?
So, I mean, definitely, you know, U of H, I got a lot of family members that went to University of Houston. Of course, they're, you know, the actual college team in our city here, even though, if I'm being honest, it's really UT here in Houston. If you take a poll of UT or University of Houston, of course, unfortunately, it's going to be University of Texas, because a lot of people from Houston, you know, if they stay in the state, they're more than likely going to UT. Some maybe going to Texas A&M, but usually it's UT. So, I mean, just kind of going around the city, different jobs I've been at, a lot of them are UT graduates. So, unfortunately, a lot of times it turns into it's more of a University of Texas city than a University of Houston city. But I think they're slowly turning it around, and it also will help the football team actually is able to sustain and be a better, you know, representation for University of Houston, because they had a couple of good years there, you know, back when they were, you know, getting close to major bowl games. But, you know, as you know, you probably seen recently, they kind of fell backwards, and they just hired a new coach. So, you know, we'll see how all that plays out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, man, Lashard, I appreciate you hopping on here to take some time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk to the listeners about what the vibe is from Houston. Gonna be a lot of probably new Kentucky fans
that are
becoming Rockets fans. So if you had anything to say to the new BBN fans that are jumping on the Rockets bandwagon, what would you say to them?
I would probably say take Rockets Twitter with a grain of salt. So I wouldn't, you know, there's some really good content in Rockets Twitter, and then there's some really bad. I'm sure that's with every fan base. But just kind of take a grain of salt. You're coming in at a much better time than the previous three seasons before last season, because those were probably the worst three seasons in Houston Rockets history. And I don't think I'm actually exaggerating. It was really bad. So you're coming in at a much better time. Coach, I think MA has this team going in the right direction. I think you might actually really see some quality competitive basketball next season, where they actually make it into the playoffs. And I think Reed Shepherd has a really good chance, because I keep telling everybody when they say where the minute's going to come from, MA is not beholden to anybody. Yes, he has his favorites in, you know, Van Vliet and Dylan Brooks, the veterans, but at the end of the day, he's about winning, and he's not really about, they're trying to develop players. They're trying to, you know, maybe give some favoritism so some of the players have been there a little bit longer. But at the end of the day, if Reed Shepherd goes out there and kills it in summer league, really the big difference is going to be in training camp. I think that's really where the minutes will really be determined to start the season. If he goes out there and kills it in training camp, I mean, there's a good chance that he's in a rotation to start the season, because he feels a need that's something that pretty much every other Rocket doesn't bring to the team, and that's a knockdown three-point shooter. So I'll just tell, you know, Kentucky fans to be patient when it comes to watching the Rockets, and especially once you start engaging with Rockets Twitter.
Yeah, for sure. So that's it. Just
yeah,
they're further along now than they were, like you said, not quite where they want to be, but going in the right direction. So yeah, I've been here for years like you, so I'm come on in BBN, and you know, Reed's gonna bring a lot of fans to the Rockets, so it'll be cool to see. And we look forward to your coverage from the Dream Shake and here on the Rocket Fuel Pod, and keep doing the good work, man, and appreciate you hopping on and taking the time, LeSharp, man. I enjoyed this.
Yeah, man, anytime, man, just let me know. I can talk Rockets for hours. So yeah, man, I appreciate you having me on. I had a great time.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you much. And looking forward to Summer League and the season coming up, man.
Yes, sir.
LeSharp Binkley at Binkley Hoops on Twitter, too. I should have said that. I meant to say that. So y'all follow LeSharp, Dream Shake, Rocket Fuel Pod here on Believe, and keep up with all the Rockets content. Like you said, decipher between the good Rockets content and the not so good Rocket content. So LeSharp, man, thank you so much, man.
All right, man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. So appreciate LeSharp hopping on, and appreciate everybody that's been in the comments, everybody that's been watching, following, and retweeting. So it's Reed Shepherd officially introduced in Houston, the contract introductory press conference. Emay's kind of vision for what they see him being and bringing the shooting to Houston. So good stuff. And for me as a Rockets fan, selfishly, like I said last week, I was glad to see them keep the pick, keep him at third, and bring him on in to become a member of the Houston Rockets. In other Kentucky news and notes, the Olympics around the corner, Sydney McLaughlin Leveron is doing what she does, breaking her own records, crushing it. The hurdles, she's just kind of experimenting and still breaking world records, breaking her own records. Her time as she runs the hurdles is faster than the bulk of the field that if they didn't have hurdles. So she's just continuing to do what she has been doing, about to go to Paris and of course hopefully bring home a bunch of gold medals, but be representing UK once again. She was one and done at UK, but what a year she had while she was running track for Kentucky. So congratulations to her, much success. We're a couple weeks away, but we'll have basketball because we're in this slow time right now where there's not a lot going on. You know, we got baseball, NASCAR, golf, but there'll be some basketball coming to Rupp Arena. You got the La Familia squad playing in the basketball tournament. The Harrison Twins are there. Tyler Ulis is the coach. Daniel Orton is going to be playing. James Young is going to be back. So many former cats, Nate Sestina, Kellen Grady, that, you know, a lot of former cats that played for Cal but did not play together. They were missing each other by a year or two here or there. So it's going to be fun to see them play. We hope to have somebody on from La Familia next week to kind of talk about that and break that down. So that'll be something to look forward to as we're in that July, August, waiting for football to start once again. But yet we haven't had to wait as long this year as we normally had, because you know the cast made it to the College World Series and a lot of people were watching that. And next thing you know, it's mid-June, and here we are in July. Next thing you know, the end of August, it'll be the first football game for Kentucky against Southern Miss. So that dead period isn't as long this year. And then you got the Olympics too. A lot of people jump in and watch the Olympics. You got Devin Booker, Bam Adebayo, Anthony Davis, playing for Team USA in the Olympics. Ryan Howard, she's healthy for the women's side as well. And all the other sports that you don't watch a lot, you know, track and field, swimming, a lot of things that you only watch when it's Olympic time. Well, you got the couple weeks of the Olympics that'll bridge the gap even more until football season gets here as well. Recruiting. I don't do a whole lot of recruiting. Aaron covers that as well. But Javion Campbell from Western Hills right there in Frankfort committed to Kentucky after just kind of dabbling in football for a year. He'd been playing basketball for Western Hills, all-time leading scorer for Western Hills. Of course, that's the same high school that Wandale Robinson went to. Plays his first year of high school football last year and gets 14 and a half sacks, tackles for loss, just goes out there and dominates and gets offers from Kentucky and Auburn and Miami and I don't know who all, but he commits to Kentucky and he's still learning how to play. Just went out there and messed around and killed it for Western Hills. So got another season, senior season for football and basketball, and then he will be on his way to Lexington to do his thing for Mark Stoops and the Cats. So that was just a cool story just to say, I'm just going to mess around and kill it as a D lineman for my very first time. At another Yahtzee as well, we had a kid, Kalen Edwards, four-star defensive lineman. Kentucky is stacking up D linemen. You got to have them. Four-star out of Dyersburg, Tennessee, Kalen Edwards committed to Kentucky 4 hours ago. So good to get a high-ranking player. Even better when you get him out of the state of Tennessee. So congrats on Kalen Edwards. Looking forward to seeing him as well. We see, and you know, Deion Walker, Josh Allen, all these linemen. Unfortunately, Josiah Hayes is going to be lost for the season, but the depth is there. Silver coming over and transferring in. So very, very strong on the defensive line, and it's continuing to get stronger. 6'4", 315, Kalen Edwards. Javion Campbell is, I think, 6'5", about 260. So he's only going to get bigger and stronger as well. So the Yahtzees are coming in on the football side as well. Going back to the La Familia, the basketball tournament team, they're going to be practicing against the current team at Kentucky, so that will be cool. I don't know if that's going to be streamed or shown or televised or something, but if it is, great. If not, to be a fly on the wall to see those scrimmages. Makes everybody flash back to the time that the 2012 soon-to-be championship team was playing pick up there in Lexington. NBA was locked out and the Oklahoma City Thunder came through and AD and all those guys beat that Thunder team with KD and all those guys. So and all those other NBA players that were coming through at that time. So a lot of excitement for this team. If they get to go up against the former Cats, that would be cool as well. I think that hits on about everything we're going to hit on this evening. Appreciate everybody that jumped in the comments. Thank you, Tara Hardy, for commenting. Appreciate LaShard Binkley for jumping on here and giving us the vibe on all things Houston Rockets, you know, my team anyway, and now another team that the BBN will be watching because Reed Shepard is going to be down there starting his NBA career. So appreciate everybody taking the time to check it all out. We have Aaron back next week, get Jalen back too, and just keep one day at a time until football season gets here. But we appreciate y'all tuning in and checking out the show. Follow, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. And appreciate y'all putting the comments up and watching when you take the time to watch as well. So for Aaron and Jalen, hope to see them next week. Thanks again to LaShard Bentley. My name is Vinny Hardy. This has been another episode of Believe in Kentucky on the Believe Podcast Network. Everybody take care now.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.